freedom. Oh, freedom. Oh, freedom over me and before I'll be a slave, I'll be buried in my grave and go home to my Lord and be free. Oh, freedom.
Welcome back. Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast, this Monday, February 6, 2023. It's Black History Month, and can we talk about, we'll get back to the can we talk about stuff. Imagine if we all did a little bit of homework along the lines of the research that Tony Martin did, Professor Tony Martin. Imagine if we all, do you remember when the COVID shenanigans began and I said, we're all getting the Africa treatment now? We're all getting the India treatment. We're all getting the Native American treatment. We're all getting the Palestinian treatment. It seems, I don't know, if it's not painfully obvious by now, to everyone it should be. And so imagine if the people, generally speaking, kind of got wise to what was going on, and instead of being balkanized, which is an interesting term, balkanization, They understood that we are all being targeted. We are all in the crosshairs, generally speaking. I mean, if you're not, I remember the interview with Dick Gregory talking about white folk. Who does he mean when he says white folks? You know, if you can call your congressman or your senator or something and get something done, that's what he means when he says white folks. If you're not white folks in that sense, then we're all in the crosshairs. What would happen if we all got wise to that? And what happened if, you know, for example, 300 million people weren't shopping at Walmart, weren't using this service or that service? What happens? I think it changes things. And as I said recently, the economic drivers are the ones that I think are going to buffalo jump us over the cliff. And in the name of convenience, obviously, and safety and security. Anyway, we're on the phones. Go ahead, Mike. You still there, Mike?
Over.
We were having trouble with your audio, actually, too, ironically. So.
So can you hear me now?
No. Loud and clear.
I'm off base. I'm thrown off. You threw me off my feet.
I do want to get back on track in a minute, though. So.
Well, yeah, you mentioned the buffalo thing. That was a technique. The Native Americans ran buffalo
absolutely
off a cliff.
Mm-hmm. Stampede.
One of the best known Native Americans probably is that guy in the PSA for pollution. And he's staring at all this pollution and he turns toward the camera and you see his big tear coming down. And I think I saw somebody use that as a meme that said just that, we're all Palestinians now.
Mm-hmm.
The
mm-hmm.
ironic thing is that guy was Italian. He wasn't Native American.
Yeah.
The actor that played that in that PSA. And they ran that for decades, but late 60s through into the 80s, 90s, I don't know. So the thing I wanted to mention was, Dean, you know, any of these movements, the movement against climate change mitigation or geoengineering, can have infiltrators. And there's a very well-known one, which I won't name, who is a former employee of Bechtel. And Kevin Shipp did a video for him and was saying through the video, he's a CIA whistleblower who they tried to apparently kill his family with some kind of mold toxin poison in his apartment. He had to get permission to sue the insurance for his apartment, and in the process got a lawyer approved So then he could sue the CIA, but he had a trustworthy lawyer to sue his own employer. Pretty slick trick, really. But anyway, that guy was on, and he's like, I need you to get the word out, share, you know, do this, you know, help me get the word out. And I did that. I downloaded the video, and I reposted it. And this guy attacks me almost immediately. Delete all copies and take this down. I'm like, the guy's begging people to get the word out because he's under the, you know, the crosshairs here of the federal government. So I became wondering if I should even trust that whole outfit anymore. And what happened to Michael Murphy? You remember that What in the World Are They Spraying guy?
Yeah.
Did you ever follow what happened with him?
No.
I mean, he's gone because he's dead, too. But supposedly, and I have to wonder if somebody did this to him, if they actually, you know, gave him a Mickey and threw him into drug addiction. I don't know. He ended up drug addicted, roaming around Southern California for, I don't know, a couple of years until he died. But he was the guy that went to Hawaii and interviewed, Margot Kidder, the actress that has her own little place out there, and they were peeling the bark off of palm trees and saying, this ain't right, you know. But that hurricane Florence, if people want to look into it, it looks fairly obvious that the insurance industry would stay very quiet about that if they could steer that, and instead of doing $24 billion worth of damage, they estimated it was $2.5 billion. But other people got hit and hurt. But, of course, they're going to, you know, they would rather the generally dumb public not know this, even though they've spent 70, 80 years of research money on how to modify the weather. We're all supposed to think it's kooky tinfoil hat stuff. So we're under so many psychological operations and dirty tricks just trying to exercise our First Amendment. It's not even funny. So free country, we're all Palestinians.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Right. Thank you, Mike. Much appreciated, as always, truly. Yeah, these are interesting times. I want to give you a couple of snippets of stuff. Yeah. Late Gray Jack Otto. We just need to cram some of this stuff in real quick. Okay. So, speaking of some of the stuff that I mentioned earlier, you know, some of these things, it's interesting, you know, when you start diving down the Jeffrey Epstein rabbit hole, like Whitney Webb has, if you listen to Whitney Webb, what she says is basically, oh, I just arrived where Danny Casolaro was on The Octopus, or where Gary Webb was on The Dark Alliance, or, you know, where I believe people like Daphne Caruana Galizia end up, or Michael Hastings, or Jonathan Quitney, or countless folks have told us, and we just keep forgetting about these folks. Danny Casolaro, Gary Webb, Jonathan Quitney, Daphne Caruana Galizia, Michael Hastings, on and on the list goes of folks who, you know, and then there are the whistleblowers, again, like the Vince Fosters and the Mark Middletons, and, you know, the folks who have been arc-incited along the way, which at last count, I think the list was over 100, wasn't it? There used to be, you know, the website, what was it, arc-incite.net or something like that? I forget what it was, but it's long gone now. I don't know if any of that's on archive, the Internet Archive, but it was an extensive list of people who, you know, run themselves over, shoot themselves in the back of the head twice, committing suicide. Then after, you know, of course, after you shoot yourself, you got to drag your body out into a field a few hundred yards away. There's the cliche of autoerotic asphyxiation that guys like David Carradine die of. And, you know, we hear all these things, you know, oh, he hanged himself. Well, it was, you know, he was a freak when we showed up. There was a, like, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but there is the story of, what is his name? The guy, you know, one of the connections that Whitney Webb makes is to the judge, the Deutsche Bank connection, Esther Salas, and her son and husband being shot. And Roy Den Hollander, who was actually a fairly high-profile attorney, I guess you could say, who I would say was scapegoated. Oh, yeah, we showed up. His body's on the ground next to a rental car in his name, a rental car. But apparently he flew to Los Angeles to shoot some other attorney, and when you hear the story, well, you know, it was probably because that guy was competition for him. Really? How so? I think if you're – that just doesn't make any sense. You would want to band together with people who are being successful in the area that you're – you know, if it's a battle – this person is successful in their battle, you want to team up with people like that. You don't go shoot somebody like that. So this guy, 72-year-old attorney, is just going to drive around the country and, oh, yeah, no, we found in the rental car, you know, lists of names and things. It's, oh, well, that's convenient. So, you know, if you're going to try to burn somebody or scapegoat somebody, you throw a bunch of fake evidence in the rental car. And ridiculous. So anyway, Roy Den Hollander. What the heck happened there? None of that story makes any sense. None of it makes any sense. I digress. I'm getting ahead of myself. Jack Otto, the late, great Jack Otto, without whom this network, I dare say, would not have existed. The last radio show, the last broadcast that he did, final episode. Give this a listen, a little bit of this. Go ahead, please.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is your Saturday night program of Radically Right. I'm your host, Jack Otto, here to take a bite out of the New World Order, railing against the New World Order out of Region 5. And I'd like to ask everybody to join me in prayer. I want to pray for those who are taking a stand against this New World Order. And as always, I ask that you would join me in prayer by adding your voice so that a multitude is praying together rather than one man praying and a multitude listening. Let us pray. Dear Yahweh, God of good, creator of all the universe, God of Abraham and his sons, Ishmael and Isaac, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your many blessings. We ask that you shelter us from the forces of evil. Bless our minds with discernment and our voices with your words. Guide our steps that we may follow your way. Cause the New World Order to fail and its conspirators to be exposed and defeated. Give us courage, help, determination, and material resources. Keep us in the hollow of your hand and shrouded in your Holy Spirit. For we pray in the name of your only begotten Son, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. Amen. We find that this New World Order is making gains. They seem to be solidifying power. It's getting close to that time we can say we're in tribulation. This is the time of Jacob's troubles. This is the end times when there are wars and rumors of war and knowledge is increased. Look how much knowledge has increased since the start of the Industrial Revolution, which was about 150 years ago. But already we're gotten to the point where new information is doubling at a rate of every 2 or 3 years. See, when that Industrial Revolution started, we had a doubling of information over what was previously gathered by men of wisdom and science and able to put together. But we find now that it's increasing at an increasing rate. It's like the amount of money in circulation. It keeps increasing at an increasing rate. That's why it costs so much more for everything that we want to buy at the stores. Things are not more valuable than they used to be. The money is worth less. We got a break coming up here. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. We're going to take a bite out of this world order.
So, the title of that video that you can still find on YouTube is Jack Outdoor Radio Show, Final Episode Before His Death, 8/4/2007. 11,000 views. And the description, let me give you the description. Little did Jack or his regular listeners know that this would be his final show. Ironically, he spent a good portion of this episode discussing the mysterious death of Washington-based investigative journalist Danny Casolaro, who died on August 10th, 1991. Casolaro had been writing a book with reams of information he had collected over many years about what he called the octopus, quote unquote. He had appeared exuberant to most people, to most of his friends before his death, noting that he was about to wrap up his investigation of the octopus. Casolaro was trying to prove that the alleged theft of the Inslaw computer program Promise was related to the octopus surprise scandal, the October surprise scandal, the Iran-Contra affair, and the collapse of BCCI, you know, the Bank for Crooks and Criminals, Bank of Crooks and Criminals, Bank of Credit and Commerce International, the CIA bank that became, I think, the seventh largest bank in the world within just a few short years, as well as CIA drug trafficking. Casolaro's body was found at 12:30 p.m. in a blood-filled bathtub by a hotel maid who called the Martinsburg, West Virginia police. The body contained 3 deep cuts on the right wrist and 7 on the left wrist made by a single-edge razor blade of the type used to scrape windows or to open packages. At the bottom of the bathwater was an empty beer can, a paper glass coaster, a razor blade, and 2 white plastic trash bags on the desk. In the hotel room was an empty notebook with 1 torn out page and his alleged suicide note. There were no papers, folders, documents of any sort, nor any briefcase found in the room. Danny's wallet with credit cards was intact. Jack followed this up with more background information regarding Inslaw and Promise. Around this time, 2007, this network, I would say, gave extensive coverage to the subject. Jack followed this up with more background info regarding Inslaw and Promise, which was sold to the Canadian government by the Reagan-Bush administration for its computer systems, which contained a backdoor. And, you know, and again, I mean, speaking of this, right back to Whitney Webb's research, and down the rabbit hole we go quickly. Why? Why would you do this? Speaking of John Brennan, he was the guy who told us about how the CIA loves to suborn people. He didn't say it exactly like that. But remember when he was testifying in Congress and they had that weird sort of Big Brother camera angle on him? You know, it was down and really tight down in front of him. Really tight, and he was talking about suborning people. Well, it's, you know, to suborn. This is what we do, basically. You know, sounded kind of like the Zek to me. Stick around. We'll be right back.
We shall overcome. We shall overcome someday.
Oh, homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you. And your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
One of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs. For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste by going to rbnhemppaste.com. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
Time to cast away stones, or time to gather stones together. To everything turn, turn, turn. There is a season, turn.
So to finish the description of this video, just to give some context by way of background, historical, Jack followed up this, what he said, with more background info regarding its law and promise, which was sold to the Canadian government by Reagan Bush administration for its computer systems, which contained a backdoor and thus were compromised. Incidentally, this was at the time of the free trade negotiations with Canada, and it has been alleged that the U.S. government spied on the Canadian negotiators with this software and knew their positions, demands, and expectations in advance. If you're a scenario planner, this is vital and essential, obviously. You know, the Dr. Strangelove's demand it. But remember, when was it? I want to say 2011. It wasn't that long ago, about 2016, I think, that I was mentioning that all of the, Russia in particular was dumping Microsoft software. Well, let's go back from there. 2006, 7, 8, Microsoft was – you remember the NPR article about how Microsoft was cooperating or I forget the term. I think it was something like cooperating with the NSA on security for Windows 7. Yay. And then you fast forward to mainstream news stories of Russia and many other companies or countries dumping Microsoft and Western-based software going for their own. Why do you suppose that was? And again, listen to Whitney Webb talk about this, the intricate network of cross, double cross, triple cross of selling these software systems with backdoors and so on and so on. Anyway, continuing. But as Jack explained, there was also an Israeli connection. He went on in detail listing names of individuals, companies, governmental and criminal organizations involved in the drug trade. He named the Mossad as the primary benefactor of the illicit drug trade of the Colombian cartels. Jack then shifted to a discussion about prohibition and its effect on property rights in America and how this had created black markets, which paved the way to the growth of the illicit drug trade. Just ask Joe Kennedy, right? He then tied this to the communist agenda. Jack also discussed 9/11, Homeland Security. Is repugnant in a free. Okay, exactly. He then tied this to the communist agenda. Jack also discussed 9/11, Homeland Security, and the so-called Patriot Act, and the historical use of false flag operations to bring about changes. It's called strategy of tension, right, dear comrades? To bring about changes in domestic and foreign policy and wars. Strategy of tension and opportunities of crisis. You invoke a strategy of tension episode so that you menace and hobgoblin the general public, as H.L. Mencken put it, so that they will in turn respond and say, help us, kidnapper, protect us. So that they'll turn to the state for protection, as Vincenzo Vinzagera testified, speaking of Operation Gladio. Back to the description. He stated, Jack Otto stated, it was essential for Americans to wake up, stand up, and take action to preserve the Constitution and to maintain freedom. Jack mentioned JFK's speech against secret societies. He touched on legal drugs, pharmaceuticals, and the harm they cause. You can go over to, if you're not familiar, SSRIstories.org. Still there? Still there. Over 7,000 stories, most of which are published in mainstream newspapers and scientific journals. Including antidepressants, SSRIs. He closed by reiterating that it has been the erosion of property rights which led to the illicit drug trade and profiteering. And what did the World Economic Forum say? Welcome to 2030, you'll own nothing and be happy. As always, Jack appealed for donations to RBN to keep the network afloat as a voice for truth and rights and to keep it moving forward. Only a few hours later, Jack Otto, who seemed in very good health, was found dead in his apartment at the age of 65. As there were no obvious indications of murder, his death was not treated as such. Nonetheless, given the nature, subject matter, and content of Jack's weekly broadcasts, it was highly suspicious. Rest in peace, Jack B. Otto. Stick around, we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Thank you. Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Amazon customer, 5 stars. Honestly, this stuff works. Nick, easy to take capsules. For those who can't handle the liquid drops, easy to take Extendivite capsules do the same job. Karoka Fam, works great. Like Extendivite very much. Seems to work as advertised. Thanks. Arlene, 5 stars. Love this product, Extendivite. Terry W, 5 stars. Can't say enough. Great product. Freya, 5 stars. I just ordered another. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Standing 6'4", weighing 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Second hour, people who cannot be handled and will not be handled are dangerous. Imagine if instead of feckless, inert little infants, we were all standing on our own 2 feet. Jack Otto's point about the evisceration of property rights cannot be understated. And if you have a multiculturalist agenda, it's been playing out over decades at glacial speed, so most people don't realize it. But if you have that kind of agenda, you can't have private property ownership. That's just not acceptable. So you have to get rid of that so that you can move people around in coercive engineered migration sort of fashion, create a multiculturalist milieu, so nobody really knows who they are or where they came from, and then they're all easily handled, generally speaking. And so Jack Otto obviously spoke out against that. Folks who think for themselves and are not afraid to stand apart from the bandwagon fallacy, the bandwagon effect, we all jump on the bandwagon, they're dangerous. And on that note, Whitney Webb on with Russell Brand last week, and the title of the clip is "This Goes Deeper Than You Know." Here's an excerpt. Go ahead, please.
At all, Whitney, the aspect of these crimes is, of course, independently heinous enough and exploitative in a manner that's almost difficult to conceive of in terms of its scale and scope and geographical reach and the number of people involved. But it appears that this is also merely one component, and in fact is an aspect of this is the use of this criminal activity in order to create ties that are connected to power. Am I correct? And where is it, Whitney, that all of this is going? Because it seems to me that you're handling a great deal of information and a great deal of energy, and that you have a sense yourself that you're very close to how global power really operates.
Well, you know, that was my whole effort of the book. You know, I wrote 1,000 pages. It's two volumes. The second volume focuses on Epstein, and the first volume focuses on how this happened and how this network that enabled Epstein essentially came into existence. And, you know, what I'm trying to do there is really just interrogate the power structures that are essentially running most of the Western world. And, of course, the Western world, particularly U.S. empire, has client states around the world. You know, in other words, this would be the power structure of most of the world today. And essentially what you have are major elements of organized crime and intelligence agencies, mainly in the U.S., U.K., and Israel, that essentially fused during, you know, the World War II and the immediate post-World War era. And a lot of really crazy things have gone on. And essentially what I found is that history is littered with figures just like Jeffrey Epstein. He was not an anomaly at all, like we've been told by mainstream media. And thus, it's probably likely that people swimming in these elite circles for several decades, you know, found this type of activity in which Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell were engaged to be perfectly normal. And actually, there's reports in 2003, and I think the Evening Standard and other UK outlets that openly talk about Ghislaine Maxwell training young blonde girls and techniques and brandishing whips at parties. People knew about this well before Epstein was arrested the first time, and nothing was done. And you even have the wife of the deceased Senator John McCain in the United States, Cindy McCain, saying in early January 2020, we all knew what he was doing talking about Epstein. So this was known and nothing was done.
It's extraordinary. So it seems like it would be impossible to have a significant connection to Jeffrey Epstein and not know what he was doing. Overtly and explicitly, Jeffrey Epstein then is a realtor, a fixer, a global playboy. But the nature of his connections means what? That he's integrally involved in the true structures of power that are usually concealed from ordinary people.
Yeah, to an extent. I think he was really sort of a middle management figure who was sort of linking top tiers of this power structure and with, you know, people on the ground actually enacting a lot of these operations, policies and corrupt acts. And of course, him himself being intimately involved in several acts of corruption. As well. And ultimately, I think the reason the financial crimes are not discussed is because that's getting to the bottom of a lot of things that are still ongoing to this very day. There's a lot of powerful interests that definitely don't want that coming out. And if you look at, for example, when efforts have been made to investigate the tie of Epstein and Wall Street banks, most recently with this situation in the Virgin Islands, the Attorney General was fired after trying to file suit against Deutsche Bank, I believe, for their relationship with Jeffrey Epstein. And the previous attempt to prosecute that in a U.S. court saw the judge's son assassinated, essentially, by mm-hmm. someone that had previously worked for an intelligence-linked outfit called Kroll Associates. So there's a whole lot of crazy stuff there. And so why was I think it's pretty clear why the mainstream media won't touch this one if that's how it happened, you know, that's how it's played out on the legal side.
I suppose we all have a sense that there are elite and inaccessible organizations that primarily are connected around the administration of power, the acquisition of profit, the manipulation of the media agenda, the top American political figures, significant corporate figures across the globe, some of the world's most powerful billionaires have connections and relationships that are illicit. And of course, the nature of this story suggests that there is a component, that's a significant part of it. One of the other aspects of this is that I keep hearing people connected to this story die in mysterious circumstances. And then, of course, Jeffrey Epstein's death in custody doesn't seem to be entirely straightforward. What's your impression there, Whitney?
Of Epstein's death, I definitely think the official story is totally insane and very difficult to believe. And essentially, it's very hard to know what happened that day because the guards were asleep, the cameras didn't work, and all these different things, you know, went wrong. And it's just a very difficult story to believe, especially if you believe the official story of how he allegedly hung himself after being on suicide watch with paper-thin sheets. And he's a tall guy. You know, I mean, a lot of it doesn't really add up. And ultimately, if you look at other people in the Epstein case, for example, Mark Middleton, who I mentioned earlier, who was frequently meeting with Epstein at the White House around 94 and 1995, early or in May of last year, he was found hanging by the neck with by an extension cord and a shotgun blast to the chest a couple months after the Daily Mail published the visitor logs between him and Epstein and revealed that what was thought to be five visits was really closer to 17. And the local Arkansas court blocked all media and all files related to Middleton's death from being released, and it was ruled a suicide. So you tell me how likely it is that someone hung themselves and at the same time they shot themselves in the chest with a shotgun, you know, and how likely that was actually a suicide, as authorities maintain.
Occasionally these stories occur that reveal the true nature of power, and it makes me a bit scared, to tell you the truth, Whitney. Do you sometimes feel like, hold on a minute, if I keep talking about this stuff on the internet and writing books about it, it's pretty clear that I'm in some risks. Do you ever feel that, mate?
So there's the network I trace in the book has been reported by previous journalists who had things happen to them, like Gary Webb and Danny Casolaro. But I think today the media, you know, the powers that be are more likely to paint me as just a conspiracy theorist and ignore me than, you know, go to all the effort of coming all the way to South America and executing some sort of hit or something like that. And ultimately, I feel that if you live in fear of these people, you're giving them power over you and power over your life. And if your goal is to free yourself and your family and ultimately the world from this type of corrupt power establishment, we should not be giving them power over us. So that's how I feel personally about it.
Stay free with Russell Brand. See
you first. There you go. So if, you know, we hear that Whitney Webb committed suicide and was discovered in a pile of cocaine and midget porn, don't believe what you hear or read. Again, free-thinking people are dangerous. Those are the ones, you know, that the Maos and the Stalins all say, and I would say the Klaus Schwabs and the Yuval Noah Hararis. Congratulations. You're all hackable animals. There are just so many useless people. There is a useless class. I think Harari is useless. We're just going to jump right back into it, and I'm going to give you this. And if you can make the connection, again, Roy Den Hollander is kind of one mental link for me here. An excerpt from the end of TrueStream Media clip from 2017. I mentioned this recently. These 100 societies prove who really rules America. Go ahead, please.
Election of class officers is frequently made by a deal between two or three powerful societies. The result is therefore a cause of much bad feeling.
Despite all the American dream rhetoric, which sounds good as a political tagline, secret orders and elite traditions seem to be the real American way. But at least they seem benevolent on the surface, right? How bad could it really get? At the end of the day, isn't it all just campus politics? No. And with that, we leave you with the University of Alabama and a notoriously powerful and shadowy student political group known as The Machine. The machine is composed of dozens of Greek fraternities and sororities who reportedly pay $10,000 apiece to be part of a nearly literal political machine that dominates all Greek life and the Student Government Association, including all campus elections and the passage of student resolutions. The machine's dark history dates back to 1888, when it became the Alpha Rho Alabama chapter of Theta Nu Epsilon, which branched off from the Wesleyan University chapter founded in 1870. By definition, it is a sister organization to Yale's Skull and Bones, which is also part of Theta Nu Epsilon. Based on its activities and clout, Alabama's chapter likely also connects with older Southern power circles as well. The Machine Secret Society took on a distinct course starting around 1909, when it effectively merged with a parallel society known as the Skulls, breaking increasingly further from its charter and going rogue to operate as a tight political machine in campus politics and as a guardian of old money, white society values, a strategy that must have played well for the dozens of members who became leaders in business and politics in Alabama's power elite after they finished their studies. Their eerie emblem includes a skull with a dagger piercing through it, and the Greek acronym for Theta Nu Epsilon, which looks almost like the word one across its forehead, along with a pair of keys rather than crossbones, complete with angel wings, a cloud of dust, and an image more consistent with motorcycle gangs than university organizations. Other icons from the group depict demons bathing comfortably in the flames of hell. Death threats, creepy phone calls, stalking, having businesses shut down, knife attacks, and overt racism have all been attributed to this dark order in attempts to intimidate rivals and eliminate competitors. A recent report in the campus paper, The Crimson White, says that, quote, the machine used every scare tactic and committed every assault it could to instill dominance in the Student Government Association, from cross burnings to phone tapping, bombings to stabbings. A cross was indeed burned by 15 men in white hoods who stood in front of a competing sorority house after an independent black candidate won the student presidency in 1976. When an opponent had beat the machine for the student presidency in 1970, a few years earlier, his dorm room was burned. When a student editor exposed the machine in a 1960 edition of The Crimson White, he described the experience in local newspaper The Anniston Star, saying they had to go to press hours early and under the guard of a police escort for the circulation staff. During a previous expose in 1961, someone tried to hijack the bus carrying the papers from the print shop en route to the university. The level of harassment and intimidation tactics has raised a national spotlight on the allegations of abuses raised by several independent class president candidates, including a former Alabama governor's daughter who refused to align with the machine in 1993 and as a result suffered emotional and psychological trauma. She was physically assaulted by a man wearing pantyhose over his head who broke into her home, beat her, sliced her face with a knife, and threatened her to drop out of the race. She too had a cross burn on her front lawn. Nevertheless, opposition groups on the campus are becoming more vocal by the year, and at least some are publicly challenging the machine in elections. However, there are plenty of claims that its powerful influence has long since formed the basis of a good old boy network that has been rumored to plug candidate after candidate into Alabama's state politics system at virtually every level, with machine-backed graduates taking the, quote, southern route to Washington, D.C.
In real life, the smartest kid who pulls himself up by his bootstraps and works the hardest is not always the winner. The connections illustrated here alone prove that there are actually two college systems in America. One for the proles and one for the initiated, with an inner circle privy to hidden knowledge and rings of power that ordinary people, no matter how talented or bright, simply cannot attain. While this is by no means an exhaustive list, it should be apparent by now that secret societies are thoroughly entrenched in colleges and universities across America as they have been for centuries. It's more than just rules and traditions. Membership lasts a lifetime, and for some, that bond is more powerful than that of a spouse. And while outsiders may laugh off their ciphers and sacred rituals when they do get leaked to the public, it is clear they are no laughing matter to the group.
You were both in Skull and Bones, the secret society.
It's so secret we can't talk about it.
What does that mean for America?
The conspiracy theorists are going to go
wild. I'm sure they are. I don't know. I haven't seen the website.
Number 322?
You both were members of Skull and Bones, a secret society at Yale. What does that tell us?
Not much, because it's a secret.
But sober and serious connections to something the rest of us are not a part of. Many secret society members go on to join adult secret societies as well and play their part in the wink and nod economy. And while many of these college secret societies and their true agendas remain hidden, only showing their faces through anonymous philanthropic good works around their campuses, it is also training these students the value of working with a group behind the scenes, in the shadows, and sworn to secrecy. These aren't just clubhouses and fraternity pranks, or simply juvenile flirtations with the occult, but rather they are a training ground for our future ruling elite. Simply put, here is a pedigree that opens doors that others dare not approach. What else is there left to say? A caste system is very much alive and well in America today. It simply isn't called that.
It's been frequently demonstrated that societies, in life as well as in colleges, are often a source of much evil, if secrecy be one of the things which are strenuously insisted upon. A spirit of bravado and lawlessness is likely to pervade a number of men bound to sink or swim together.
Why did we play the bell? You have to watch the whole video if you're not familiar, For Whom the Bell Tolls. Why did we play the bell tolling? Well, or at least a few of the tolls of the bell. You have to watch the video to understand. So there was that guy who told us that and reminded us that the very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And he said, we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. You know, here's a question that I'll come back to. You know, this all ties together with Black History Month. And if we could get united as people and not be denied, not take no for an answer, what would happen? Here's a question. Speaking of Freemasonry and Masonic temples in particular, if it's not a religion, then why call them Masonic temples, complete with religious texts? Why do they have religious texts, you know, usually the Abrahamic texts? Why is that? It's an awfully peculiar coincidence for something that allegedly is not religious. No, it's not a religion. Well, then why is it called a temple? That's strange. Call me crazy, but that seems peculiar. So let's see. One more thing real quick. Nick Gregory. And, you know, like I said earlier, the short version of what I'm getting at with, you know, and particularly in conjunction with Black History Month is that, you know, if you are a Prince Hall Mason, you are what Malcolm X described as the House Negro. You watch after your master's stuff more closely. You're more concerned with your master's property and well-being than he is himself. I think this clip of from Dick Gregory, I think this is what I was thinking of earlier, and I'm pretty sure it's clean. Fingers crossed. I'm you know, I'm 99% sure that we're okay. I'm pretty sure. Should have listened to it beforehand. I didn't. So I'm gonna hope and trust that this one is safe, because with Dick Gregory, there are no guarantees. Anyway, give this a listen. Go ahead, please.
Go. Oh, I don't give them that. I say white folks.
White folks, okay. White folks. So if...
Then I know all white folks ain't white.
Okay, got it.
I tell white folks, if you can't get on the phone and call the stock market and determine if you're going up or going down, you ain't white.
Is there such a thing as an Illuminati? Is there an Illuminati?
If you know about it, it's not. It's bullshit.
I was wrong.
The real things that come, most black folk don't know about it. The Illuminati, black folk can't even read or write, know about the Illuminati. Tell me what business they own. Mm-hmm. What company they own. What goes behind that?
Right.
Okay.
Right. But there is a reality to what Stuart Chase said, which is control without ownership, so that there is no neck to grab, so that you're grasping at the wind, you're grasping at mist. And, so now that's what we have. We have corporations that rule the world, and who owns Berkshire Hathaway? I mean, Warren Buffett is a major shareholder, but does he own it? Who owns Verizon? Who owns Apple and Microsoft and so forth? There are figureheads, but do they actually own it? Who controls it? How does that work? What is the role of influence and persuasion? Anyway, I always think of Dick Gregory saying that, if you can't pick up the phone and call the stock market and figure out if you're going up or going down. I think, in another interview, he said something about calling your congressman or senator as well. Same kind of thing. If you don't have a direct line to the figurehead of power, then like he said, you ain't white folks. So that's to define terms. And the point of playing that is simply to say that we are all in the crosshairs. If you are not those kinds of people, if you're not a if you're not somebody like a William Yandel Elliott, for example. Elliott is a figure, speaking of Black History Month, I want to get back to. Very, and for that matter, I mean, we quickly go back to Joe Biden, Hillary Clinton, Robert Byrd. Hillary Clinton, extolling the virtues of someone like Robert Byrd. Oh, yes, my goodness. Friend and mentor. Anyway, if we're paying attention, then maybe we take Malcolm X's advice, and we're careful how we listen to the media. And, I'll just say this too. Speaking of the shenanigans, well, I'll save that for later. That'll do it for today's broadcast. I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
There's too many of you to cry. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you die. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, Father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.